Today, the market tug of war gets more intense. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, world's latest post covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update, and there's lots to talk about today. US stocks closed higher on Friday after a labor market report showing moderating wage growth in May may indicate that the Federal Reserve could skip a rate hike in 2 weeks. While investors welcomed a Washington deal that avoided a catastrophic debt default, with the Senate passing a bill late on Thursday to lift the government's $31.4 trillion debt ceiling, and that avoided what could have been a catastrophic first ever default. But as an old TV show soap used to say, confused, you will be. And this is certainly appropriate for the current complex market dynamics. The market has actually been rallying since last October, hoping that the Fed would pause its rate hiking campaign and start cutting rates in the latter half of this year. With this broadening rally, markets are embracing another upside surprise on the economy, Mohammed El Arin said in a tweet. Underlying this is a lower risk of recession. Indeed, and as I've argued before, there is no need for the economy to fall into recession unless it's hit with another Fed policy error. But of course, the bullish case does hinge on the economy avoiding a recession, employment remaining strong, and wages supporting consumption, helping to elevate corporate profit margins and supporting higher market valuations, and the Fed pausing its tightening campaign as inflation falls. And yet, if the economy does avoid a recession and employment remains strong, the Fed has no reason to cut rates. Now, the Fed may stop hiking rates, but if the economy is functioning normally and inflation is falling, then there's no reason to cut. And given that if you get sustained economic growth and low unemployment, that could well keep inflation elevated, leaving the Fed with little choice but to become more aggressive in its tightening monetary policy. And two other factors to also consider are, firstly, the narrow base of the current rally. It's a mirror image of last year when big tech was on the nose. Now investors are holding shares in the massive tech and growth companies, and that's leading the charge. And of course, they're now debating whether to cash out or to stay in further for the ride. And there's a second impact too, the lag effect of past rate rises, which typically takes maybe 18 to 24 months to work through to the real economy. And that is also creating a split of performance between the goods and the services inflation readings, which also can have a significant impact. By the way, a record $8.5 billion flowed into tech stocks in the last week, according to data from BOA Global Research, as investors piled into a rally that has seen the tech-heavy NASDAQ 100 gain 33% in 2023. The benchmark S&P 500 has risen 11.5% this year and stands at a 10-month high. And there are big movers, of course, including Nvidia, which was up 170% over the year, while Apple and Microsoft, the top two US companies by market value, both climbed nearly 40%. The S&P 500 advanced for a third week in a row, powered to the brink of a bull market by that handful of tech behemoths. The NASDAQ 100 jumped 1.8%, capping a sixth straight weekly gain. The tech-heavy NASDAQ surged to a 13-month intraday high and posted its sixth straight week of gains that marked its best winning streak since January 2020. But underneath the surface, value shares lagged growth for a seventh week of underperformance. The Russell 1000 Value Index fell 4% in May, compared with a gain of a similar size for its growth counterpart. And by the way, that's the biggest spread in favor of the latter since 2000. Yet others see reason for caution. Among them is the narrowness of the market's rally. The five largest stocks in the S&P 500 have a combined weight of 24.7% in the index. That's a record high dating back to 1972, according to Ned Davis Research. The heavy weightings could mean more significant fallouts for the broader market should those names falter. We have had this big run, and the essential question is, do you believe it's going to continue, or do you believe that things are going to return to the mean, said Peter Tutz, president of Chase Investment Council. Excitement over advances in artificial intelligence is a key factor fueling gains in the mega cap stocks. But of course, the question with AI is it really going to generate significant income down the track, or is it yet another hype? NVIDIA slid 1.1% for a second day of declines after briefly entering on Wednesday the elite club of mega cap stocks valued at $1 trillion or more, on hopes artificial intelligence would deliver significant future returns. But NVIDIA's almost 170% rise to date highlights investors face a market dominated by the outperformance of megacaps, while most other companies tread water. Nobody really explains to me how they're going to make any money from it, said Michael Landsberg, chief investment officer at Landsberg Bennett Private Wealth Management. A company like NVIDIA going up so much in such a short period of time, that doesn't make any rational sense. Now, the US economy created 339,000 new jobs in May. That was well above the 180,000 expected, definitely indicating that labor market conditions are easing. The jump in the unemployment rate from a 53-year low of 3.4% in April reflects the drop in household employment and a rise in the overall workforce. A bigger labor pool is easing pressure on businesses to raise wages and therefore helping to decelerate inflation. While it appears to be a hot number on the actual number of people employed, the wage rate is not increasing as fast, said Kim Forrest, chief investment officer at Boga Capital Partners. So there is a softening effect, and the question is this the mythical soft landing? Well, some would say it looks like it. The data brought relief to investors who mostly expect the Fed to pause hiking rates at its policy meeting on June the 13th and 14th. It would be the first halt since the Fed started its aggressive anti-inflation policy tightening more than a year ago, but some pointed to much hotter than expected jobs data as a sign the Fed will still have to do more to tame inflation. Following the better-than-expected job gains in May, Morgan Stanley said they continue to see the Fed on hold at the June meeting and think the bar will be very high for the Fed to resume hiking. Our view is and has been that the market is completely wrong on assessing what the Federal Reserve is doing, said Phil Orlando, chief equity strategist at Federated Hermes. The market's perception is that this economy is going to cool, inflation was going to collapse, and the Fed was going to turn around and start cutting interest rates. That's wrong, he said. Now, the St. Louis Fed president said recently that the aggressive policy we pursued in the last 15 months has stemmed the rise in inflation, but it's not clear we're on a path to the Fed's 2% inflation target. He declared he would need to see meaningful declines in inflation to convince him more rate hikes weren't necessary. It may warrant taking out some insurance by raising rates somewhat more to make sure that we really do have inflation under control. Now, there was a phalanx of hawkish comments from a governor and two Fed heads, which really did move the markets during May. The new Dallas president spoke in Sant Anna, warning the data in coming weeks could yet show that it is appropriate to skip a meeting. As of today, though, we aren't there yet. We haven't yet made the progress we need to make, and it's a long way from here to 2% inflation. And soon after, another Fed governor in a different venue added, inflation is too high, and we have not yet made sufficient progress on reducing it. Well, the Fed funds futures shows a 71.3% probability that the Fed will hold rates steady in 2 weeks. That's down from 79.6% on Thursday, according to the Fed Watch tool. The US 2-year Treasury was up at 4.511%, while the 10-year was at 3.699%, of course, still in recession inversion. But the big question now is whether the US Treasury, as they issue bills to replenish their low reserves, sucks up liquidity and pulls rates higher, even as the Fed continues its QT tightening. It's worth remembering that the money markets can tap the Fed's repo facility at rates better than Treasuries, and the overseas investors who are traditionally big players in the Treasuries markets are facing an exchange rate move of at least a couple of percentage points, making US Treasuries less attractive. So that could be another source of uncertainty ahead, and really goes to the question of liquidity. Anyway, the Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 2.12% to 3,762. The S&P 500 gained 1.45% to 4,282. And the NASDAQ added 1.07% to 13,240. For the week, the S&P 500 rose 1.82%, the Dow added 2.02%, and the NASDAQ gained 2.04%. Now, interestingly, shares in Verizon Communications and T-Mobile declined after a report said that Amazon was in talks with the US telecoms to offer low-cost wireless services to its Prime members. Verizon slid 3.2%, while AT&T and T-Mobile declined 3.8% and 5.6%, respectively. Amazon, on the other hand, gained 1.2%. Sentinel One slumped 35% after the cybersecurity company cut its annual sales outlook after reporting quarterly revenue that fell short of Wall Street estimates amid a weaker macroeconomic backdrop. Over in Europe, European stocks traded higher on Friday, helped by the progress on the US debt ceiling bill, as well as signs of life in the Chinese manufacturing sector. The DAX in Germany traded 3.4% higher, the CAC 40 in France rose 1.87%, and the FTSE 100 in London declined 1.56%. The economic news in Europe was less impressive, though, as German retail sales rose less than expected in April from the previous month, climbing 0.8% month on month. Sales were expected to increase 1% on the previous month, and on an annual basis, that translated to a fall of 4.3%. And as discussed in a previous post, the Eurozone inflation trends are not going to stop the ECB from lifting rates further, despite Germany's recession. And whilst the US debt ceiling deal is done, gold isn't quite dead yet. As some have been speculating, futures on the yellow metal settled down on Friday for the first time in 3 days, but the drop could not wipe out gains over the previous days, leaving gold in positive territory for the week. The front month gold contract on the COMEX was $1,963 an ounce, down about 1.56% on the day. And the benchmark for gold hit a 2 week high of just over $2,000 earlier on. For the week, it was up 1.3%. So gold had a positive week, despite the dollar rising for a second time in three sessions, as forex traders reacted to the debt ceiling problem going away, at least for now. But some money has flowed out into growth stocks and from gold. In oil, fears that the OPEC Plus alliance of world oil producers could announce a third production cut in 9 months led crude prices to rally again on Friday, significantly paring weekly losses. New York traded West Texas Intermediate crude settled up 2.52% at $71.92 a barrel. For the week, WTI was down 1.3%. On Wednesday, the US crude benchmark hit a four-week low of $67.03. London traded Brent crude settled up 2.85% at $76.40. And for the week, Brent was down 1%. The global benchmark for oil hit a four-week low of $71.39 on Wednesday. Crude prices sank earlier in the week, partly on concerns over an unresolved US debt ceiling agreement and worries that the Federal Reserve could hike rates again when the central bank's policymakers meet on June the 14th. But chiefly, the weakness in oil was on speculation that market bulls could be disappointed by an absence of production cuts when ministers of OPEC Plus meet on Sunday to discuss market supportive action for crude prices that have fallen by more than 10% this year. By Friday, though, there appear to be more positives than negatives for those long in oil. Notwithstanding the potential for more cuts being announced at the weekend, OPEC Plus has had limited success this year in bolstering the market through supply squeezes. The alliance announced a 1.7 million barrel per day cut in April, on top of an October undertaking to shed 2 million barrels daily. After the April cut was announced, crude prices only went up for 2 weeks before turning lower over 4 weeks, erasing some 15%. The earlier pledge to cut 2 million barrels fared worse, resulting in just a few days of gains before prices tumbled to a 15-month low. Most Asian stock markets rose on Friday amid optimism over the approval of a deal to raise the US debt ceiling and so avert a default. And Chinese markets rebounded from six-month lows on renewed hopes of an economic recovery in the country. Hong Kong's Hang Seng was the best performer on the day, rallying 4.02% and out of bear market territory on strength in heavyweight technology stocks. Stocks including Tencent Holdings and Alibaba Group Holdings surged between 4 and 6%. As reports said, Nvidia Corporation head Jensen Huang was planning to meet top executives from major Chinese technology firms. The Hang Seng had its best day in 3 months, also supported by locally listed Chinese stocks. China's Shanghai Composite Index rose 0.79%, rebounding from six-month lows, as a private survey released on Thursday showed some resilience in local manufacturing activity. The reading spurred some optimism over a market recovery in the country this year and saw traders pile into heavily discounted Chinese markets. Japan's Nikkei 225 index raced back towards a 33-year high with a 1% bounce on Friday. While the broader topics added 1%, Bank of Japan Governor Keizu Ido said the bank planned to maintain its ultra-loose policy for the time being, heralding accommodative conditions for local stocks. Tech investor SoftBank jumped 5.4% and was the best performer on the Nikkei, buoyed chiefly by a frenzy of chip-making and artificial intelligence stocks as the firm prepares to spin off its chip-designing unit Arm. South Korea's KOSPI added 1.25% as data showed the country's economy grew slightly more than expected in the first quarter, while inflation remained steady in May. Optimism over China helped Australian shares decline for a second session on Friday, buoyed by mining companies after investors cheered the passage of legislation by the US Senate to lift that debt ceiling. That said, financial stocks were held back by data showing an unexpected decline in home loans through to May as local interest rates continue to rise. The ASX 200 closed up 0.5% to 7,145, and that trimmed its weekly loss to just 0.1%. However, hopes that China might announce stimulus measures to boost its slow economy lifted shares in the mining sector, and the price of the main ingredient for steel, iron ore futures for delivery in July on the Singapore's exchange rallied 1.3% to $106.38. BHP Group rallied 2.8% to $43.25. Rio Tinto rose 2.5% to $110.15. And Fortescue Metal advanced 1.7% to $19.69. Lithium miners also tracked a rally in the white metal prices. Core Lithium jumped 3.9% to $1.08. Pilbara Minerals added 3% to $4.47. And Allkem advanced 3.2% to $14.77. IGO rose 2.5% and Mineral Resources gained 1.8%. And still in the commodities world, St. Barbara shares leapt 5.4% to 58.5 cents. The gold miner recommended that shareholders voted in favour of the Genesis acquisition offer for its Leonora assets rather than accept a rival bid from Silver Lake. The latter shares rose 2.8% to $1.10. Palladian Energy shares vaulted 10.7% to 67 cents after the Namibian government clarified its position on taking stakes in mining and petroleum companies. Elsewhere on the ASX, the consumer staple sector dropped 1.3%. UBS said it expected Australian retailers to suffer from higher labour costs after the Fair Works Commission increased minimum wages by 5.75%. Woolworths, Coles and Wesfarmers, the broker said, were better positioned to weather the pay increases. That's in contrast to Premier Investments, Accent Group, Universal Store Holdings, Lovisia, and Harvey Norman, which were expected to take a bigger hit as business margins got compressed. And meanwhile, home furnishings and housewares retailer Adairs plunged its lowest in 3 years after trimming's earning guidance. That sent the stock down 14.8%. It dived to $1.51 at one stage and closed at $1.60. Baby formula company Bubs Australia was among the biggest losers, down 2.7% after reporting lower than expected sales, particularly in China. And Coles lost 1.7% to $17.82 after taking an additional $25 million provision related to its underpayment of staff, more than doubling its initial estimate of back pay owed. And the big banks were mixed, with NAB falling the most, down 1% to $25.79. ANZ edged up 0.2% to $22.77. CBA was up 0.11% to $96.91. But Westpac was down 0.29% to $20.54. And Macquarie rose 0.3% to $171. Of course, the Reserve Bank is likely to increase the cash rate beyond 4% on Tuesday, and a further two times before September, after the latest rise in the minimum wage for decades was handed down on Friday. Some economists are saying the 5.75% increase marks the largest increase in pay awards since at least 2009 and comes on top of a 4.6% to 5.2% increase last year. Within an hour of the decision being announced, money market traders raised their bets that the RBA would increase the cash rate from 3.85% to 4.1% at its Tuesday board meeting. The overall outcome was higher than what appears to have been baked into budget forecasts by Treasury, which had told the Commission a 4% increase and slightly above for award rates would not affect its forecast for CPI to fall to 3.25%. The monthly consumer price index reading released on Wednesday unexpectedly jumped from 6.3% to 6.8% in April. NAB economist Taylor Nugent said the decision was an upside risk to the RBA and Treasury forecasts for wage growth to peak at 4% over the next year. The FWC played down the broader macroeconomics of the decision, but the decision still applies to a material share of wages expenditure, and there are risks of broader benchmarking and anchoring from the outcome across other wage agreements, he said. The Australian Chamber of Commerce and Industry Chief Executive Andrew McKellar estimated the increase will mean an extra $12.6 billion in costs for businesses and was, quote, a hammer blow for the 250,000 small businesses paying minimum and award wages. The Fair Work Commission has made a dangerous choice to chase after the supply-side inflation shock that we are experiencing, he said. An arbitrary increase of this magnitude consigns Australia to high inflation, mounting interest rates and fewer jobs. But then, of course, they would say that, wouldn't they? And what about the embedded higher prices that many businesses are still flowing through the economy? It's a much more complicated story than just the wages piece. And finally, Bitcoin finished May down 7%, which was something of an average performance for a highly varied month. In fact, if you look at multiple time frames, the trading suite Decent Trader saw little reason to expect an abrupt trend change yet, warning of moderately bearish or declining signals on its proprietary trading instruments. It flagged downside support levels tied to key moving averages. And last time I looked, Bitcoin was at $27,150. That was up 0.22%. So if you stand back, as I said at the start, there's a lot of complexity going on here with lots of different trends pulling different directions. Will the Fed hold its line or will it pause? We will see in a couple of weeks. The RBA on Tuesday is almost certain to lift rates to try and get inflation under control. And more broadly, of course, financial markets are now piling into tech, but of course it's a very narrow base and there's significant risks of a correction later. So once again, caution is the watchword of the day. Although, of course, as with all of these things, we're going to have to expect the unexpected. And as I said at the start, confused, we should be. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.